Okay. Right, so we have in the second line. Nadas ha-grozal, nevarech lahaniach al shnehem. U'birchas laniach yachol levarech b'yeshiva. So the grub haskins like Rebbe Tam, in how to put in the tefillin. But the paskins like Rashi about how to make the brachas on the tefillin. There's just one bracha. Right, remember we asked that question before? If Rashi says that there's one bracha, Rebbe Tam says there's two brachas, so we should paskin like Rashi. We paskin like Rashi about how to put in the tefillin. Why don't we paskin like Rashi about putting... Because we said before, we don't say Savik brachas lahakil on brachas and mitzvahs. So necessarily, sometimes we will say, okay, we're not sure, so let's go with the one. So we give deference to the other opinion by saying Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Vayeh. All right, so the Gra. So whenever you get something that's like, I mean, this is called the Siddur Vilna. It's not called the Siddur Agra. Okay, so sometimes you always mention when the Gra's Minhagim might fly in the face because the Gra's Minhag was also to put on tefillin and sit down. That was not the regular Minhag Ashkenaz. This minion, everyone's standing, putting on tefillin. But sometimes you see a Sephardi in the back. He's sitting down, putting it on.
Okay? What's the reason for that? Just for kavana?
Yeah. Yeshiva means I'm making a yishuv here. I'm sitting. Sometimes the dafka for Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha. They'll only be seated for Ashrei. Okay. V'lo im hifsik b'tibu mevaruch al shel rosh al mitzvas tefillin bracha zuba mida dafka. And I'm not sure why that would differentiate that the bracha zu, does he mean if you spoke in between or always? That would be strange. If you sit to put on the shaliyad, but you stand to put on the shal rosh, it's just strange. But here's the nafkamina. Because Rashi has to contend with the fact that the Sefer says on the shaliyad, you say laniach, on the shel rosh. You say al mitzvas tefillin, right? So it's very strange that you should say there's only one bracha in the letter of Gemara. The problem is, I think we discussed this before, is that the Gemara in Menachos says there's only one bracha when you put on tefillin. However, im soch ben tayim mevarech shtayim. If you interrupt it, it's all. Look in the Sefer Chinuch. He counts tefillin as two separate mitzvahs of the 613. But apparently, even though it's two separate mitzvahs, let's say you put on two pairs of tzitzis, one after the other, or four pairs of tzitzis, but that's really different, because it's not two separate mitzvahs. It's the same mitzvah doing over and over again. But if you keep shechting chickens, you don't have to make a bracha over each chicken. Right? You know what I'm saying? So it's...
The first legal spot is not even legal. That's the school.
Shkech.
Thank you.
What are you doing? My pleasure. Great. It's great. So it's just an unusual thing that Sach Ben Tayim Mevorech Shtayim works for Rashi. It means if you didn't talk between your Yad Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, which is every day. Come on, how often do you talk between them? Then you just let the bracha for the Shal Yad cover your Shal Rosh because you didn't talk in between. Right? However, if you talked in between, then mevorech shtayim. So to Rashi, that means only in that case make a second bracha on the shel rosh. But what could it mean to Rabbeinu Tam, who says we make two brachas every day? It seems to the Gemara Menachos that only if you talk in between is there a second bracha.
That rhyme is referring only to the tefillin.
Soch ben tayim mevorech shtayim. Yeah.
That's a tefillin.
Soch ben tayim. If you talk between the shel yad and the shel rosh, only then do you make a second bracha. So how does Rabbeinu Tam, who always makes two brachas, explain that in Gemara? So the answer is, and this is how the Rambam paskins, and this is normative halacha for Ashkenazim. Although I don't ever remember talking in between the shel yad and the shel rosh. Never. But if you did, right, what's the brachas on the shel rosh? Yeah, I gave it away. You have to make both brachas on the shel rosh in order to make sense of that Gemara. It's amazing. You get it? If you're talking between, you're making three brachas. Lahaniach twice, and then al mitzvahs.
But you already said lahaniach.
Yeah, but you mevatel that. I mean, it's strange.
But the tefillin's already on your arm, and then you say the bracha on it?
In order to make sense of the Gemara, according to your shita, right? In order to make sense of the Gemara Menachos, according to your shita and brachos, You're making two brachas on the shel rosh. It's just strange.
Because the shel rosh invalidates the arm tefillin? I'm sorry, because you talk, it invalidates...
It's super strange, yeah.
But then you're not making that first
apparently
bracha.
Apparently so, but we count it as two separate mitzvahs.
Yeah, then how can they be two separate mitzvahs? That doesn't
yeah,
make sense.
So what they're trying to do is make sense of the Gemara has to make sense. So what is Sach Ben Time of Aruch Shtayim if I'm always making two brachas? That's great. That's this Fardim and this Minyan. They made one bracha today. Right. Okay, I'm putting it out there. It's two Gemaras. So look, don't ever talk in between, and it's not an issue. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam just said, how often does someone talk in between? But he sounds like he's making a bracha shen tzricha. I just said Elo Niach Tefillin 30 seconds ago. I know, I'm sorry. I saw someone I haven't seen in a long time. I started asking about his brother.
If there are two separate mitzvahs, then it makes sense that they should have two separate brachas, right?
Maybe, yeah. You don't want two different brachas. One is a hanacha, one is a mitzvah. You know, it's strange, but I mean, come on, yeah, I'll go with it. Okay, let's continue reading. Then see, we're up to the bet. Asur lahafsik b'sicha bein shel yad l'shel rosh. V'imsach mevorech al shel rosh shtayim lahaniach v'al mitzvah. I just said that. Okay? You see what I just wrote? You see it? All right? It's asur to talk in between. I'm up to the bet in the third line. Alone, yeah?
Yeah, asur lahafsik.
Okay, so v'imsach mevorech al shel rosh shtayim laniach ve'al mitzvah. If you did talk in between, you have to make two brachas on the shel rosh. V'kodim shivarech shtayim ra'ui lahaziz hatfilin shel yad mimakoman. Oh boy, and see, you see what he says. In other words, mevatal l'shel yad, in order that the laniach that you're making a second time should, in the very least, be on a hanacha, as opposed to just saying it shtam. How can you just say a brachas on mitzvah without doing the mitzvah? It's already on.
Right.
It's like making at least a tef with the tzitzit is already on me. Alright? Kimmel. Imsach l'tzorach ha-tfilin, eino tzorach l'varach shtayim. Good. This is what we know from many places. The shochet has to keep his mouth shut until he finishes his 700th chicken. Of course he can talk in between.
Mm-hmm.
What he shouldn't do is to talk about stam dvarim. While he's shechting, of course he can say, "Can you bring that chair over? I'm getting a little tired. You want to look at this knife a second? You know, can you put some straw on the floor? This is getting too slippery here." You know,
but he can say Divrei Torah. I mean, can you really break his concentration?
I should think not. I should think Divrei Torah. If he has to say some Torah about Hilchos Shechita, maybe. But if he breaks, if he talks about the parsha, Adrabah, then it's not, you know, it's not a din in Torah. It's a din in interruption.
Mm-hmm.
If I may be so bold as to compare it to this, it's a really crazy Gemara, but Rav was giving shiur, and he said, and apparently Rav used to give shiurim to his talmidim, maybe it was a select group of talmidim about to get married, but he'd give them talmidim shiur in the ethics of marital relations. So he's giving this shiur, it's Gemara at the end of Brachas, and he says, you should not talk while engaging in marital relations. So Rav Kahana, one of his talmidim, He actually makes his way into his Rebbe's bedroom, and he stays under the bed, and he's listening to his Rebbe, and his Rebbe's talking. So it's one thing, he could have, you know, confronted him the next day in shir. He doesn't. He confronts him on the spot. He calls out from under the bed, and he goes, Rebbe, it sounds to me like you have never tasted this dish in your life, as if though you're ravenous. What's going on? Right? So he says he recognized the voice. He says, Kana Lavor Chara, this is not the way to do things. Get out of here and don't look back. I heard
the story, but that just sounds like the last thing you want to do to test the rabbi like that.
Okay, any Hanami, but okay, it's actually in a series of Gemaras about learning from the rabbi's actions. So it goes, look how far he went to, you know, without, you know, so there's nothing like the lab. You know, you can give a shear, but you know, okay. So Lamaisa, the Gemara explains that the, and this is actually the topic of another Gemara in the Darim, that says four types of behaviors during the marital act cause birth defects. If you see this Gemara in Daf Chaf in Maseches Nedarim, and talks about, and three of the behavior is, all four of the behaviors, the Gemara seems to say that these are bad things to do because look what happened to your children. And then at the end, it's by an unknown rabbi who mentions three things in the whole Talmud. At the end, Rav Yochanan, who's absolutely the most famous of all the Maharim, and he says, that's what he says, but we paskin that you can do all four of these. He says, the Chachamim say, whatever a husband and wife want to do together, they can do. And then Rambam paskins that way, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't. The Shulchan Aruch says, categorically also, but he only mentions three of them. The fourth one is you shouldn't talk during the time, which is what Rav said later. So, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention that one. Because Lemaisa, even though Rav said you shouldn't, he did. So what does it mean? Why would Rav contradict himself like that? So the Mefarshim answer, very simple. The talk that you shouldn't do during that time is, the train was so crowded today, I can't believe it, I heard it's supposed to rain tomorrow, don't forget to take your galoshes. I mean, that's just, it just so, it almost trivializes what we're doing, right? So obviously there's a kind of talk that is permitted, just like I'm saying here with the Shochet. If the Shochet starts talking about, his son's nachas to the next person who's coming for a chicken, it's going to distract him. But the talk about the thing itself, so if this talk that's why he said, it sounds to me like you haven't tasted this dish. Obviously, he was talking about his wife. He was impassioned at her, so, which is permitted because that enhances the thing. Mm-hmm. Right? So I'm using that as a whole background to explain the difference here. If the talk is about it, but that's true any place where you're not supposed to talk. If you make wash netilas yadayim and you get to the table and you say, "Is there salt around here?" Well, you don't just melech. Yeah. Make you know what I'm saying?
That's okay.
Yeah, don't forget to wait. You didn't dry your hands. Now, usually today, what we'd say is, right, do that.
Why? But that doesn't apply here with not talking after the.
We didn't move the chair back. He's sitting on it. I might get a thumb to get up.
Talking after the shiliyah, that doesn't apply. You can't talk at all.
Yeah, Mistam. No, Mistam. No, he's saying here. That's what he said. It's a poor point. Is that im soch l'tzorcha tefillin eino tzorch l'varach shtayim? If the sicha between the shiliyah and the shalrosh was about the tefillin. In other words, he's afraid that he just chipped the corner of the shalrosh, and he shows just quickly. He says, "Is that a problem?" That's okay, because that's the tzorach tefillin. I guess we have to now figure out there is a Gemara in Brachas that talks about what's tzorach ha-sa'uda, that if you interrupt between the al-natil sedayim and the motzi, is not considered an interruption. So the Gemara gives a series of them. And the last one is fascinating. It's amazing that this is not a l'chatchila atonu rabbanon. This is what you should do in the morning. It's amazing, but the only way we know this halacha is as a tangent to things you're allowed to say after netilas yadayim before you make the motzi, and it's not considered an interruption. Stama only at breakfast, and you'll see what I'm getting at. It says, did you bring salt? Did you dry your hands? And one is, did you feed the animals? So he goes, wait a minute, what are you talking about feeding animals? You're interrupting your mouth. You didn't even come out to it. Did you feed the animals? Well, so the Gemara says, why isn't that an interruption? Because
you have to feed your animals first.
You're not allowed to eat before you feed your animals. Mm. Now that's not true in lunch. It's only true in the morning when you wake up. So Mistam is talking about breakfast. Okay, fair enough. Some posts can discuss whether this is true at all the meals, that whenever you eat, you have to make sure your animals have, what, really, all day? You can't eat the thing before you take care of all your animals? It's a little burdensome. No, it's in the morning. Anyway, that's how we know this halacha. In other words, I would expect something like that, which it's based on a pasuk even, should have started off as a ton of rabbanon, asu lechol ad she'achil et behemto. Instead, it comes as, did you feed the animals? Well, that sounds like, no, it's not an interruption because, right. All right, so we have to just use our common sense. What's considered an interruption, what's not considered an interruption. Okay? All right. But lechatchila, that's only if after the fact. But b'dieved, you already mentioned, you already were interrupted, so now you want to know, is this, do I have to make another bracha? The answer is no. But lechatchila, even if it's about the tefillin, right, don't talk. Rak im ef shar b'lo zeh. Right, what would be ef shar b'lo zeh? That's why I gave you the extreme example. If this shel rosh now is no longer a shel rosh because I chipped the corner of it and it doesn't look like a perfect square, you know, I can't put this on. I have to get a different shel rosh.
Right.
Below you have sik afil lo kadesh lo kedusha. Rak yishtok v'yishma v'yichavim l'ma she'omrim. V'im hifsik v'ani es kadesh kedusha m'vorech shtayim. Wow. It's not the Indian of tefillin.
So if you have your yad on and they start saying kadesh, you continue. The whole way through, you don't stop.
No, stop and listen. Stop just to the Yishmei Rabban Baruch Hu Mel Mayim, that's all.
But you don't stay up.
We've had that halacha already, right?
Yeah,
if you're in the middle of Kiddush, if you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, and they're up to Kedusha, right? Rashi says stop and listen. Right? Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos, if you stop and listen, it's like you're saying it. You might as well say it. So Rashi obviously has a sense. It seems to be two Gemaras and two Rishonim and two Achronim.
You're between the Yad and the Rosh. Do you wait to say the Rosh Bracha after Kadosh is over, or after?
Just say Yishmei Rabba. Just go right in
right after that's done.
Yeah, or Baruch, whatever else.
All right.
So it turns out that there are the two places that you most can never interrupt. Obviously, if you daven in Shemoneh Esrei, is after you say the words Brachat Hashem Goel Yisrael. Before you start davening, that has the rule as if though you're already in Shemoneh Esrei, right? And between the Shel Yad and the Shel Rosh of Tefillin. Okay. Din Makom Anachas Tefillin. Makom Anachas Tefillin Shel Yad, Hu Bebosar HaTafuach Shebachatzi HaEtzem HaSamach La Ellenbeugen. You know what an Ellenbeugen is?
Mm-hmm.
Your elbow. Okay. So between your elbow and your shoulder. Okay. Make sure that the kesher stays tight on your skin, because you're gonna. If the kesher is going this way and the tefillin seems to naturally, you have to go that way, and that will keep it. Okay? That's the ukshartum. Not that you have to tie that whole thing every day. That would be that's crazy. No, people don't know how to do that. But that you have to tie. This is the tying, the tightening. Makom anachas tefillin shel rosh. So this can change obviously with time, but where your hairline started, or where the forehead, the child, a newborn baby is very soft here. It doesn't grow in so fast. So from here and up, not down. Don't go past this. It should be sitting on your head. When it's on your head, you should not even see an angle underneath. You know what I'm saying? If it's out there, you'll see.
Oh, I see.
There's a piece. The end of it should be on your head. It's a crown on your head. It don't worry about it going too high up. Just worry about it going too high down. Right?
Interesting.
Makom anochas hakesher me'achori harosh be'emtza ha'oref. So be'emtza ha'oref, I mean, don't pay too down there either. You can feel there's something there. There's like an indentation. It should go in that indentation. Obviously, that's smaller. The kesher is that. The bias is that. Right? V'tfilin yeh neged bein ha'inayim v'lo yatel etzdadim. It shouldn't go one way or the other. And as I told you the Yerushalmi yesterday, and if it's going this way or that way, it's as if it's still in your bag. Right? This might be a good place to stop.